Bonjour à tous, good morning. Thank you very much to Anne-Marie and Chantal for inviting me here. Very interesting topics and presentations we've seen so far. And I hope not to disappoint you right at this point. I think my presentation deals with something that's already being talked about by the previous presenter a little bit, but I will add something more on the reasons behind the attitude that some media outlets have towards climate change. And I am a structural geologist, so I'm normally dealing with faults and tectonics, but lately I developed a keen interest in environmental risks, and I'll be talking about this topic, particularly how the media in Italy especially have been covering this issue in the last 15 years. The first thing I want to talk about is the newsworthiness of climate change. We've seen this month has been really a black month in terms of weather-related events. And climate change becomes a newsworthy issue when those kinds of storms, of floodings, of course, strike. As we've seen, like, for example, the super typhoon Haiyan in the Philippines. And of course, that caused several billions of dollars in damage and 5,000 deaths, unfortunately. And we've seen that TV and print media outlets across the world are very keen on establishing and proposing a connection, a direct connection between climate change and these kinds of weather-related events. And we'll see in the following of my presentation how this might be a good thing to do or not so much a good thing to do. We'll decide then maybe during our discussion in the afternoon. But this is a newspaper clipping from the Guardian, and you can see that they hosted an editorial by Nader Evsanyo, who was the head of the Filipino delegation at the UN climate summit. And while rescue efforts were still underway, he was basically stating that anyone who continues to deny the reality that is climate change, I dare then to pay a visit to the Philippines. So I guess that this time he was really given a really heartfelt address at the UN summit the beginning of November. And so we can see that the Guardian is subscribing to this direct linking and connection between climate change and super typhoons like Haiyan. And environmentalists like Greenpeace go even further than that in linking superstorms with climate change. And they did a great job, in my opinion, by projecting this slogan, "Typhoons start here," on a smokestack of Europe's largest coal plant in Bełchatów, Poland. And they did just 2 days before the start of the UNFCCC. Talking about the UNFCCC talks that were held the beginning after this climate change disaster in the Philippines. After a long series of inconclusive and disappointing talks in the last few years, these talks were held in the media spotlight, under the media scrutiny, but the general results were not encouraging. And I wrote, in spite of that, the results were far below expectations. And why? Because there was like a conflict between developed and developing nations. The latter were stating that they shouldn't be required to invest as much money to reduce greenhouse emissions as the rich nations that caused the problem in the first place. Of course, the media interpretations of the outcomes of the climate talks differ widely. One is a newspaper clipping from the New York Times to the left. And we can see from the headlines, deals at climate meeting advance global effort. So this is an encouraging point of view by the New York Times. And we can see by contrast, a Los Angeles Times clipping showing a picture of four of the major world leaders. This is like a teasing of those leaders with environmentalists wearing masks and showing these leaders undecided, indecisive on what direction they should take to tackle global climate change. So this is a negative interpretation of the results of the meeting. Coming to this, another event in mid-November, scores of tornadoes have slammed the US Midwest. And my question, is there a connection? Of course, scientists say that global warming may end up making tornadoes more devastating, more damaging, but data aren't conclusive enough, and the media, effectively, in effect, aren't sure either, and they're less, are more doubtful about this connection than they are between with a connection between climate change and typhoons or hurricanes. But also in times of peace, in times of relative peace in terms of climate, we see that the climate change topic is inherently newsworthy. Why is it so often in the news? Because first of all, it is a controversial issue. I mean, it's loaded with social, economic, and environmental implications. If we just think about the economic losses that are caused by super typhoons or cyclones. If we think about the social implications of the displacement of populations from the homelands to the sea level rise, we know that this is a topic that's really controversial, and that's why it's interesting for the media. And then, of course, there's conflicting views by science as to the timing of the consequences. I mean, there's no agreement on when we are to expect the effects of climate change to really affect our everyday lives, and also the causes, how much man-made and how much nature-made. We know that there's the scientists who advocate the second view here are much less in number, but often get a disproportionate amount of attention in the media, and we'll try in the next slide to see why that happens. And of course, besides all these factors, media attention can swing between extremes depending on weather fluctuations. So we see that it can be a high attention during, for example, heat waves, and it can be a low attention by the media during record snowfalls or cold spells. So, I mean, there's quite a lot of factors influencing media attention, which is generally high, but can be lower or higher depending on other factors which are related to weather. Yeah, my own work on climate change and the media was inspired, I can say, by a work by an Italian scientist and a sociologist from the University of Pavia in Italy, who wrote this book, which reads in English, Media Representation of Climate Change in Italy. And this is a study that analyzed 738 news stories on climate change in a decade from four major national quality newspapers in Italy and more than 100 TV broadcasts. So, and my own work was inspired by this scientist, this researcher. And let's take a look at what she found out. First of all, she found out that the journalistic norm of dramatization was heavily used, especially on TV, by the Italian media, and the Earth is doomed. This was what they wrote, no matter what we do to stop the global warming trend. I mean, despite and although the IPCC has always stated that if we do something about reducing or stabilizing emissions, we can do something to reverse or to stop the global warming trend, the media went out of their way to say that there's I mean, the planet is doomed, and there's nothing we can do to actually save the planet. And another thing that was interesting about what the scientists found out is rainfall and climate change. The press and TV broadcasts were often blaming climate change for heavy rainfalls. And we know that this is a tricky point because there's no, they did that, the media did that as though science had proven this beyond any possible doubt. And we know that linking weather-related events with climate is always tricky because weather is inherently random. So, I mean, it's not very easy to link them. Whereas the media did that, and this was observed by the scientists. The third finding is about landslides, floods, and climate change. When floods and landslides struck the Italian territory, the Italian media always singled out climate change as the only factor that was affecting the events. Other factors, major contributing factors, weren't even mentioned, and these factors are the increased vulnerability of the Italian territory due to inconsiderate building practices and poor land management. And these factors were never mentioned in the decades from 1997 to 2007 on the Italian press. And what about hurricanes and climate change? Hurricanes, cyclones, and typhoons, according to the Italian media from 1997 to 2007, were on the rise due to climate change. And we know that this is a tricky point because science, official science like IPCC, this is the fourth report, and this is another document from 2012, have never clearly made the point that there is a direct connection between climate change and an increase in typhoons and cyclones. But this was the message that was passed on by the Italian media. But what the Italian media didn't explain and should have explained is that global warming could be making these events more damaging because of sea level rise. Sea level rise might end up making every single storm, even smaller storm than Haiyan, more devastating for coastal areas because of sea level rise. So this was never conveyed to the media, but instead they pushed on a relationship between the number of cyclones and typhoons and climate change and global warming, which has never been clearly up to today proven by science. This was my own paper with a colleague of mine from Switzerland on the media representation of climate change and media framing of climate change between 2007 and 2010. I published that on the Global and Planetary Change, which is a journal that deals with the science of climate change usually, but occasionally hosts contributions about the social implications of climate change. And what we did during our research was first to analyze the trend of the attention in the press towards climate change from 1984 to 2010, and we saw a slow but steady increase in attention until 2006, and then we had a spike in 2007 due mainly to three reasons. One was the Nobel Prize to the IPCC and Al Gore. Another one was the publication of the fourth IPCC report. And the third one was the Academy Award given to the documentary movie An Inconvenient Truth. And you can see here from the movie poster, you see that the hurricane is billowing out of a smokestack. So you understand what was the framing of climate change in that documentary movie. And from 2008, number of stories, as you can see, declined sharply, mainly because, in our opinion, there was the effect on the media of the Italian crisis that followed directly the US crisis in 2008, 2009, and also disappointing UN negotiations and climate talks had their share in this, had an effect on media attention. Our results fit well with the results of other studies like Boykoff and Roberts in 2007 showed an increase in the coverage of climate change in time and identified four peaks. Can you see them? No. One peak, of course, was the Earth Summit in 1992. The second peak was the Kyoto Protocol. The fourth peak was the 2001 IPCC Third Assessment Report. Of course, in 2005, Hurricane Katrina, and then in 2006, the release of the movie An Inconvenient Truth, all contributed to an increase in media coverage. And there is a more recent paper that's been published a month ago on the global and planetary change by Schmidt et al. And it shows a gradual, in 27 countries, so it's a huge analysis of these German colleagues, that they studied the media framing, media coverage of climate change in 27 countries in the world. So it's really a major contribution to this kind of study. And they saw a gradual increase in media attention until 2007, and then ups and downs, like influenced like we saw by the global recession. I'd like to introduce the role played by climate change and global warming contrarians, who have played a major role in the lately. I'll do that by taking a look at scientific consensus. Scientific consensus about global warming is absolutely huge. We have seen in a study from Cook et al. This year, they studied on the environmental research letters, they studied 12,000 papers published in the literature, and they studied the abstracts, of course, of these papers. And they noted that 4,000, one-third of the whole population of papers had expressed an opinion about global warming. And 97% of these 4,000 papers stated that man is causing global warming. So there's an overwhelming scientific consensus as to who is causing what. But although in spite of this huge scientific consensus, the US public, for example, is still confused. And we can see that there have been a few polls that demonstrated that 60% of the public believed there was still disagreement among scientists about whether GW and CC were really happening. So this is something to think about, because despite this huge consensus by science, there are still people who don't believe in global warming, and there are still people who don't think the scientists are all agreed upon one major point, which is that we are doing something to the environment. And my question is, did the media, in this case the US media, play any role in affecting public perception? And we can see that a study published by Boykoff and Boykoff in 2004 observed that in the period between 1998 and 2004, the US press extensively used the frame of conflict, which is one of the most widespread used frames, and emphasized the views of, I call them, we're rather strong terminology, catastrophists, as much as they did with the views of negationists, which are climate change contrarians. And another fact that might have influenced the perception of the US public, of course, is the action, is the role of contrarian lobbies like, for example, the Heartland Institute. The Heartland Institute, which launched the net campaign last year with roadside billboards. They were comparing the people who acknowledge the reality of climate change to the infamous Una Bomber, maybe you remember the guy, Ted Kaczynski. And so the result of this was a massive exodus of financial supporters who felt offended by the ad. But this billboard might explain why sometimes the US public is still really influenced by this kind of view on climate change. Yeah, we wanted to test whether the conflict was used as much as it had been in the US press, also in Italy. And so we analyzed a total of 821 news stories published in two of the widest high circulating newspapers in Italy, namely La Repubblica and Corriere della Sera. And we wanted to test whether there was this kind of framing by the Italian media. And we counted the number of stories that were using, that were like expressing the views of negationists versus the views of catastrophists. And we found that, as you can see, there's a sharp decline in the number of articles, first of all. And second of all, there's no attention to all, you see. Negationists got no attention at all on this media outlet. And you can see that the articles that I label as catastrophist articles sharply declined during the period that we considered, from 2007-2010. And we attributed that fall to the results of Copenhagen 2009. Remember the UN summit talk in Copenhagen was particularly inconclusive and disappointing, and also to the University of East Anglia incident in 2009 that was labeled as Climategate. We think that this might have dampened the enthusiasm by this media outlet, and that might explain the sharp decline in catastrophist stories. What about the other media outlet, which is the Corriere della Sera? We see that the overall decrease is less marked, but there's been progressively more attention to the views of negationists. You can see that in the end, in 2010, at the end of our analysis, a balance was reached between stories on the two conflicting positions. And this might have induced the readers of the Corriere della Sera to think that the two positions are equally represented in the scientific literature. And we know that this is not the case today, as if it wasn't the case in 2010. What about the journalistic norm of dramatization? We wanted to test whether this was used during those 4 years. And we used a software, which is called Taltac, which is able to scan huge databases of words in little time, and we identified a few keywords, and we wanted to test the frequency of these keywords in our sample, and we selected words that convey a dramatic picture of climate change. The words were alarm, catastrophe, disaster, and save, the verb that would stand for save the planet, for example. And we can see that the software calculates a number which is called deviation from occurrence that shows how much more or less any single word is used if compared with the average use in everyday language. So we can see on the y-axis, we can see the value of the deviation on occurrences. And we can see that in 2007, the word disaster was used extensively by this outlet, La Repubblica. And as you can see, there was a decline in dramatization during the years, which fits very well with what we saw before regarding the decrease of catastrophe stories in the same media outlet. And then we can see about the Corriere della Sera. Of course, the values of DOs are much lower than the one that we previously saw. And there's a consistent fall in DOs during a four-year period. And in 2010, dramatization was hardly ever used by this media outlet. Then we compared the DOs, these values, for the two outlets, comparing the ones for La Repubblica to the left and the ones for the Corriere della Sera to the right. And you can see that, of course, the DOs are much higher in headlines because, as you know, headlines are meant to attract attention. So we calculated these DOs for headlines, and we see that the Repubblica used dramatization much more than the Corriere della Sera did. And this fits well with the fact that the Corriere della Sera is a much more conservative newspaper. This one is a much more conservative in terms of political stance and in terms of journalistic style. That's why, although the DOs are much higher than they were if calculated on the texts, there's still a huge difference between the style of La Repubblica, which is portrayed in the left, to the with the style of the Corriere della Sera to the right. I talked about timing of climate change, and we documented much confusion in the Italian press as to when we have to expect those effects to really affect our planet. And years cited by the media were ranging from 2020 to 2100, with peaks for year 2050 and 2100. This confusion reflects and mirrors the confusion that was going on in the scientific world until a Paramount study appeared this month, a study by Mora et al. In Nature, which talks about the timing of climate change and attempts to define a year where we can expect climate change to really affect us. And they came up with 2069 in an emission stabilization scenario and 2047 in a business as usual scenario. That means that there's a threshold that they identified beyond which the events that we acknowledge today as extreme will become normal. So there's been a study lately that's tried to address this crucial point. And what about individual remediation measures? We see that the two outlets didn't give any attention to what we can do in our everyday life to counteract the effects of global warming and climate change. And we see that, as it had been the case for the previous decade, there's not been any attention whatsoever by the two Italian outlets to what we can do personally to start doing something. And what they emphasized was the contribution of politicians and negotiators that would be the only ones, according to the media, that can do something about that. So this picture of a penguin unplugging a lamp is something that I put just to discuss what we could do about that in our personal life. But this has not been taken into account by the media. Only in about 2% of the total of the stories, this was a fact that was acknowledged. But what about hydrological disasters in the media? We saw that In 2010 and 2007 and 10, the Italian media did a better job in reporting the topic of hydrogeological hazard, and they consistently mentioned poor land management interacting with climate change forcings as one of the factors influencing disasters such as the Sardinia. I guess you heard about what happened in Sardinia in Italy about 10 days ago. It was a huge flooding. And in this case, the media correctly talked about two things. One is climate change, one is global warming. And another thing that interacts with this is the use of the land. Land management in Italy is very poor. So sometimes, like in Sardinia, people are allowed to build houses along riverbeds that are subjected potentially to flooding. So this is a side of the problem that had never been addressed before, and now the media are doing this. So I'm coming to the conclusions of my talk, and by emphasizing that the two newspapers we analyze have two very different views of the responsibility of man in triggering climate change. La Repubblica seems to fully acknowledge that man is a powerful factor in this, and did not give any attention to the so-called negationists, whereas the Corriere della Sera, on the contrary, has developed over time a tendency to amplify the role and importance of climate change contrarians. Both newspapers have a very vague picture of when we have to expect climate change to impact our lives, and both media outlets downplay the role of individual measures that we could implement in our everyday life. Second part of my conclusions is the two newspapers, in our opinion, appear to have two different agendas that might have different impacts on their readerships. The readers of the La Repubblica are likely to be willing to do whatever it takes to support political actions, not individual, but political actions aimed at tackling global warming and climate change. Whereas the readers of the Corriere della Sera might develop a weaker perception of the risks associated with global warming and climate change and be less willing to support actions aimed at addressing them. This is a rather funny cartoon. I don't know if you can read it, but it basically depicts a guy that's attending one of the UN climate talk meetings and says, "What if it is all a hoax and we create a better world for nothing?" So this is a kind of thinking that these kinds of readers of the Corriere della Sera might develop a perception of something which is fairly useless to do something about that, because that might be useless. A few references, and I want to end my talk with an impressive cover by Time magazine in 2006. Thanks a lot.